This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Rajazi. We're coming here to the stories of the prophets. And inshallah ta'ala, we are with episode number 27 today. And hopefully we shall finish the story of Yusuf alayhi salam today bi-idhnillah. Right? And I have a little small beautiful surprise for all of you at the very, very end, inshallah ta'ala, something I worked on, you know, from here and there. So that will be my gift for all of you later on, inshallah ta'ala, at the end of the session. So this is episode number 27, and it is still lessons from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Lessons from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So let me just give maybe a minute or two for more people to join so that we can start inshallah ta'ala, right? We should be able to finish the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah. Alrighty. Bismillah. Let us start. Yalla. Those of you who just joined, this is episode number 27. And we are with lessons of Yusuf from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we should finish the story of Yusuf. So today is session number 10. So 10 sessions just talking about Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Yesterday, my brothers and sisters, we talked about the dream of the king, right? The dream of the king. So let's go back to the Quran and go back to verse number 43, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال الملك إني أرى سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخرى يابسات يا أيها الملأ أفتوني في رؤياي إن كنتم للرؤيا تعبرون قالوا أضغاث أحلام وما نحن بتأويل الأحلام بعالمين وقال الذي نجا منهما وادكر بعد أمة أنا أنبئكم بتأويله فأرسلون يوسف أيها الصديق أفتنا في سبع بقرات سمان يأكلهن سبع عجاف وسبع سنبلات خضر وأخر يابسات لعلي أرجع إلى الناس لعلهم يعلمون قال تزرعون سبع سنين دأبا فما حصدتم فذروه في سنبله إلا قليلا مما تأكلون ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك سبع شداد يأكلن ما قدمتم لهن إلا قليلا مما تحصنون ثم يأتي من بعد ذلك عام فيه يغاث الناس وفيه يعصرون وقال الملك ائتوني به فلما جاءه الرسول قال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة اللاتي قطعن أيديهن إن ربي بكيدهن عليم قال ما خطبكن إذ راودتن يوسف عن نفسه قلنا حاش لله ما علمنا عليه من سوء قالت امرأة العزيز الآن حصحص الحق أنا راودته عن نفسه وإنه لمن الصادقين ذلك ليعلم أني لم أخنه بالغيب أني لم أخنه بالغيب وأن الله لا يهدي كيد الخائنين وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي إن ربي غفور رحيم. So this is where, you know, the ayah that we talked about yesterday, my brothers and sisters, with regard to the dream of the king. So the king, he says, verily I saw this fat cows being devoured by seven skinny cows. Right? Seven fat cows being devoured by seven skinny cows. And then he saw seven green ears of corn and seven other ones dry. He did not understand what that meant. And then he called in the ministers. The ministers said, "Adghathu ahlam, wa ma nahnu bi ta'wil al-ahlami bi'alimin." Mixed up false dreams. They just like mixed up for false dreams. You know, it means nothing. But then that man who used to serve him alcohol, who used to serve him drink, he remembered what Yusuf alayhi salam told him, and then he rushed. He says, "I know who can, you know, interpret this dream." And then he went to Yusuf, and then he narrated the story to Yusuf. Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, "For seven consecutive years, you shall sow as usual, and that harvest, because they used to rely a lot on corn, right? They used to rely a lot on corn." So he said, "You know, when the harvest comes, only reap what you will eat, what you will consume, and leave the rest in the, you know, in ears." Meaning, when you have a corn, right? If you leave it in its ears, it still, you know, can remain ripe. It will not go bad, you know, after some time. So he told them, you know, for 7 years, this was going to happen. In 7 years, you will have good, you know, surplus. But then another 7 years that will come, it will be, you know, tough years, you know, dry, you know, famine, drought. You will suffer from drought and famine. So if, you know, within the first 7 years, only use what you would need, you know, in terms of consumption of those, of the corn. And those, you know, after the harvest, those that you're not going to consume, leave them in their ears so that they will not, you know, go bad. And that's what saved them, my brothers and sisters. This interpretation of this dream saved them in terms of, you know, the drought and the famine that was going to come. And people will, other people are from other towns and from other, you know, tribes will come in. You know, people from Palestine, even different countries, like his brothers, they will come in all the way from Palestine. They will go to Egypt, as they know that Egypt had a surplus. People were suffering from the drought, except Egypt, because, subhanAllah, of the interpretation of that dream that he interpreted to the king. So the king, he says, "Well, call Yusuf. Let me talk to him. Let me, you know, thank him." And then Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not want to come out from prison, you know, unless he had his honor back. He did not want to come out from prison unless because he was wrongfully accused in his honor. So he did not want to come out from prison just because I interpreted your dream. You doing me a favor. You're not doing me no favor. I'm the one who wants to do you a favor. And I'm not going to come out from here unless I clear my name. Then he says, "Go back and ask your Lord to, you know, question those women." Those women, because people, they heard about the women who tried to seduce Yusuf. But because Yusuf, you know, he did not defend himself. They thought that Yusuf was since he got accused, he was the culprit. They threw him in jail. So he says, "Go back and ask the king, you know, bring those girls, bring those women and interview them." So the king, he called in those girls, those ladies, and he told them, "Ma khatbukunna idra wattuna Yusuf an nafsi." Are you the ones who seduced Yusuf to himself, you know, against himself? What, you know, what happened? The people, the women, they said, "Hasha lillah, ma alimna alim min su." No, we did not do, because we don't know any. This man did not cause any. We're the ones actually who tried to seduce him. We don't know any wrong with him. We don't know anything bad, you know, about him. He's a good man. Ma alimna alihi min su. And then once they defended Yusuf alayhi salam, the women that tried to seduce Yusuf themselves, they defended him. You know, and then the wife of the minister of Egypt, now she got stuck, and then she had to confess. After, you know, all the women, they, you know, supported Yusuf alayhi salam, she had to confess. And then she said, Al-an hashas al-haq. The truth has manifested, you know, itself. Ana rawatuhu an nafsihi. I'm the one who actually sought to seduce him. And he's the one who fastasam. You know, and innahu lamina as-sadiqin. He was amongst the truthful ones. You know, I'm the one who actually, it was my fault. But then she did not blame herself. Who did she blame, my sisters and my brothers? She blamed her soul. وَمَا أُبَذِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. And she blamed her inner self. She blamed that what we call the ego. She blamed an-nafs. That's what we call in Arabic an-nafs. You know, I mentioned in one of my seminars, talking about the nafs and the types of nafs, the types of souls, that subhanAllah, the soul can be more as to your enemy than shaitan itself. You know, the soul can be even more dangerous than shaitan itself. You know, because this is, there's a very long topic talking about the types of soul, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, in fact, he swears by the soul in the Quran, just so that, you know, telling us about the magnitude and the importance and the cardinality of this concept of the nafs, a soul, the soul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions three types of souls. The worst type of soul is an nafs ammara bisu'. An nafs ammara bisu', the soul prone to evil. And that's what the wife of the minister, you know, she blamed. She blamed the soul that is prone to evil. The soul that leads you to do something bad and does not lead you to do good. It only leads you to do something bad. The nafs, the ego, the bad, you know, the bad nafs, you know. So that's the worst enemy, worse than shaitan itself. So this lady here, she said, وَمَا أُبَرِئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ. I don't, you know, she's accusing her own inner soul. She's accusing that soul that leads one to evil, that corrupted soul. So that's the first type of soul, which is the worst one. And then you have the second type of soul. النَّفْسَ اللَّوَّامَةِ لَا أُقْسِمُ بِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالنَّفْسِ اللَّوَّامَةِ. Uqsim. Allah is swearing by an-nafs al-lawwama. The soul here, al-lawwama, the self-reproaching soul. The self-reproaching soul. The soul that drives you crazy, really, you know. It's never happy. She's never happy, this soul. You know, if you do something bad, she will blame you. If you do something good, she will blame you. Blame you, why didn't you do more? You should do more. Lawwama, talumuk. It drives you, it's like a vicious circle with this type of soul. Always blames you, whether you do good or bad. It really drives its owner crazy. النفس اللوامة تلومك. When you do something bad, you don't wake up for Fajr. Why didn't you wake up for Fajr? You're so bad, you're so this, you're so that. You know, you do something good, it's not enough for her. You know, it's that nafs, very bad, you know, لوامة soul. That's the second type of soul. Then we have the third type of soul. The third type of soul is an-nafs al-mutma'inna. An-nafs al-mutma'inna. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Ya ayyatuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyah, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati. This is the content soul. This is the serene soul. This is the peaceful soul. This is the soul where if you were to read Quran, you shall cry. This is the soul that makes you really, you know, feel that peace inside of you. The soul that, you know, helps you to only do good. It does not lead you to do bad. It only guides you to do good. And nafs al-mutma'inna, restful soul. You feel that inner peace in your heart, that, you know, inner peace in your mind. That is the an-nafs al-mutma'inna. The contented soul. And that's what you and I, we need to get, and we need to seek, and we need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, to bless us with a peaceful, you know, not resenting soul, la, a serene soul, a serene, you know, peaceful soul, an-nafs al-mutma'inna. So this woman, she, my brothers and sisters, she, subhanAllah, blamed the first type of soul, النفس الأمارة بالسوء. And we need to pay attention to this soul, my brothers and sisters. Some of us, subhanAllah, sometimes in the morning, you will have a peaceful soul. It's interesting, really. This matter of the soul is interesting. There is a book called Kitab al-Ruh by Ibn al-Qayyim, the book of the soul. It's a really good book. It's in English as well, in Arabic, in English. Kitab al-Ruh, the book of the soul. And he talks about all these types of souls and he gives beautiful, you know, descriptions. So sometimes in the morning, you wake up, peaceful soul, peace. And then during the end of the day, it starts lawama soul, you know, a self-reproaching soul. At the end, at night, it becomes a nafs ammara bisu. It becomes a nafs, it becomes a soul prone to evil. At night, it's prone to evil. You know, in the morning, you're peaceful. You know, and during the day, you know, it's kind of sometimes kida, you know, becomes self-reproaching, but at night it turns into an evil soul. Wal-iyadu billah, you know. So learn how to master that soul, and maybe inshallah ta'ala we will have a course on just the soul and how to master your, you know, the soul, to have an inner peace soul, inshallah ta'ala. And that's the soul actually that will shall save you from hellfire, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wa la banun. Yawma la yanfa'u malun wa la banun. Illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim. Surah Shu'ara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the day when your children, when your loved ones, you know, when your wealth will not be of benefit to you, that day, in the day of judgment, except that who comes to Allah azza wa jal with qalb salim, a peaceful heart, a sound heart, a serene heart. For that heart to be serene, for that heart to be sound, because that's where the soul resides. That's where the soul resides. The soul resides in that heart. It's a very, very, you know, subhanAllah, beautiful topic. Sometimes it may sound confusing because these things, they, you know, sometimes people use soul, sometimes people use the heart. You know, what's the difference between this and what's the difference between that? So it is beautiful, but it is, you know, once you understand it, you will really enjoy it because it's all about you. It's all about this heart. And this is my right side, by the way, not the left side, my right side, right? Because the heart is right here. Maybe for you, from your vision here, you know, you could be left. But for me here, this is my right and this is my left. So right here, this is where your heart is. And this is where the soul resides. And we need to learn how to master that soul. So my brothers and sisters, Al-Malik, now he understood. They heard. He heard the news from the women themselves. وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. You know, they witnessed against themselves. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ أَتُونِي بِهِ أَسْتَخْلِصْهُ لِنَفْسِي. فَلَمَّا كَلَّمَهُ قَالَ إِنَّكَ الْيَوْمَ لَدَيْنَا مَكِينٌ أَمِينٌ. He, now that the king learn about the truth, he says, well, bring Yusuf out. Now Yusuf comes out. Before, he did not want to come out because he had, you know, he wanted his name to be cleared. And now his name got cleared. Now he's honored. And he came out, you know, with his head, I, you know, I was innocent, accused, innocent, right? In that jail for over 7 years, but still I'm coming out innocent. I didn't do anything. So he came out, alayhi salam. And he went to speak to the king. The king wanted to appreciate, you know, we want to show some appreciation. Ladayka makinun amin, you know, ask, what would you like us? How can we pay you back? How can we thank you? How can we, you know, make up what we have done to you? So, sisters and brothers, Yusuf alayhi salam, he asked. He know that the minister of Egypt, that previous minister of Egypt, subhanAllah, remember what I said yesterday, that minister of Egypt who purchased him when he was a slave for the reason so that Yusuf can live in his palace and learn from him, so that Yusuf eventually will take his spot. He will take his place. He will take his job, the job of that minister of finance, because he was not good. He was not good. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. إني, you know, make me the trustee. Make me the minister of finance. Why? Do you have any traits? Do you have any talents? Do you have any? Do you have the know-how? You know, can I give you that position? But if you don't have the skills, how can you fulfill the obligations of that, you know, of that position? But Yusuf alayhi salam says,
قال اجعلني على خزائن الأرض إني حفيظ عليم.
I'm حفيظ, I'm trustworthy and عليم. I have the know-how. I have the experience. I know. I learned that experience from that man, but although he was not good, but I did learn from him. In عليم, I know how to manage, you know, wealth. I know how to manage money. I just saved you. I just interpreted that dream and saved you for the upcoming years. So I do have that knowledge of finance, and I'm حفيظ as well. I'm trustworthy. So I can do the job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns everything in the favor of Yusuf alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, those of you who've come in late, I said, inshallah ta'ala, today I want to finish the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and I also want to share with you a beautiful poem. A beautiful poem that summarizes the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Are you ready, inshallah ta'ala, for that? Brothers and sisters, those of you who've come in, you know, late, and those of you who've come in on time, inshallah, you're ready for that, because I don't want it to leave. You know, inshallah ta'ala, we'll make it short and sweet. We want to finish the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. You know, we'll summarize the end of it, because I want to, inshallah ta'ala, summarize the whole thing in a poem. Inshallah, in a poem. So I hope you guys are, you know, you are definitely on for the treat. You're definitely, all of you are in for a beautiful, beautiful treat. All right, brothers and sisters, let us jump in. Yusuf alayhi salam, he became that minister. He became that trustee. And then came in those years where, you know, they had that surplus, as he interpreted in that dream. So they had, you know, harvest. They had a very, very good harvest. سَبْعَ سِنِينَ. By the way, I want to go back to something here quickly. Wait a second here. سَبْعَ سِنِينَ. All right. Here, listen up. You know, if inshallah ta'ala you answer my question, whoever answers that question, I'm going to give you a thumbs up. Yusuf said here, you know, when he interpreted the dream, he said, alayhi salam, in verse number 47, قَالَ تَزْرَعُونَ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ دَأَبًا. He says, you will have your harvest, you know, for the first سَبْعَ سِنِين, the 7 years, دَأَبَ, سَبْعَ سِنِين, he mentioned here سِنِين, you know, you will have good 7 years of good harvest, 7 years. And then, in verse number 49, he says, ثُمَّ يَأْتِ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَامٌ فِيهِ يُغَاثُ النَّاسِ. And then come another year where people will suffer from drought and famine. But he said, عَام, and earlier he said sinin. So remember, what is the difference between sana in Arabic and am? In English, in the translation, you can go back to your own translation, you will see that they only said years, 7 years and 1 year. But here he said sab'a sinin, 7 sinin, which is the plural of one sana, and then he says one am. Remember the difference between sinin and am? What's the difference between sinin and am, or sana and am? Sana, one sana, and one am. In English is 1 year, 1 year. But in Arabic, there's a difference between one sana and one am. I mentioned this when we talked about, you know, Nuh alayhi salam. Who remembers the difference between sana and am? Who remembers? Come on. I know you do. Some of you do.
Good years versus difficult years. So which ones are good years and which one are difficult years? Naz Thabit, which ones are the difficult one? Or which one is the difficult one? And which one is the good one? Is it Am or Sana? Which one? Which one? So that you understand now Arabic more than Arabs themselves. Even the Arabs, they would not know that. They have to understand the Quran. So you understand Arabic more than the Arabs themselves. If you understand this bit here. So you said good years and difficult years. Harder years. So which one is a harder year? And which one is a good year? Ah, mashallah. Am is hard. Mashallah. Very good. And sana is good. Is good. Mashallah. Ha, okay. Very good. Mashallah. All of you are great. Am is difficult and sana is good. Good year. You know, like the tire. Like the tire. Good year. So, am is difficult. No, lula robe is the opposite. Sana is sinin. You know, sana is a good year. Good year. And am is difficult. So, naz tabit, thumbs up. Mu'nisa, thumbs up. Who else answered this good? Koko Murad, thumbs up. Kamran, thumbs up. Shahnaz, thumbs up. All right, all of you, thumbs up, mashallah. All right, good. So, am is tough year. And sana is, you know, a good year. So here, what happened is, in fact, that dream came true. The dream of the king came true, you know. So they had that 7 years where they had, you know, enough surplus. They had good harvest. So they saved. He told them to save. So they saved and saved and saved, you know, those corns. And then came in that am. Oh, came in that famine. After 7 years came in the drought and famine, and people were dying and people were suffering. Even his brothers in Palestine suffered. So they came in. So big people at the time, they used to do trade. They used to have trade. So they bring in some merchandise from their back home and they will trade with something else. So they brought in some merchandise, you know, people from Palestine, including his brothers. They came. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَ This is verse number 58. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ Question. Here's a question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the brothers of Yusuf, they came in. They came to do some trade because they were suffering. They had drought. They had famine back home in Palestine. So they came to Egypt. See, they came in. Yusuf saw them. Yusuf recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Why? Why? They came. Yusuf recognized them, but they did not recognize Yusuf. Why? Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in verse number 50. 8. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ فَعَرَفَهُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ عَرَفَهُمْ He knew them. He recognized them. But they did not recognize him. Why they did not recognize Yusuf? And why Yusuf recognized them? Huh? Brothers and sisters. Common sense. Someone. Yalla. Why? Yalla bismillah. Somebody. Yalla ya Kamran. Coco. Those guys from Facebook, and we have here, because he was a little boy, grown man, and the brothers were a group. He was a young boy, Yashmin, good, aywa, he's a grown-up man, exactly. Well, he was a kid, he was a boy. Remember, he was like 12 years old. He was like 12 years old when they threw him into that pit, you know. But for them, they were old enough. He recognized them. يعني هيا مي هم مي. I'll give you an example, myself. You know, if I live to be 80 years old, I'm already 50, let's say, right? And I live to be 8 years old, inshallah, inshallah, if Allah wills, right? You think I'm going to change? I won't change much. Maybe, you know, some crippled kid, but Riyadh is Riyadh. يعني خلاص, I will not, you know. But if you were to see me when I was 12 years old, you know, if you were to see me, because when I showed you my picture and when I was a kid in school, a lot of you did not recognize me. A lot of you did not recognize me, You know, like Nawal, she's here. She did not recognize me, right? Some of you did not recognize me when I was 12 years old, you know, from that picture. But then, now, even if I go another 20 years or 30 years, I don't think I'm going to change much. Yeah, I will have lots of wrinkles, right? But you still recognize me. You will know right away. That's Riyad Wazazi, right? So Yusuf alayhi salam, pretty much the same thing. When they threw him into the pit, he was 12 years old. Now he's over 40. Now he's over 40. But for them, they were already, you know, they were already adults. Maybe they had black hair at the time and black beard, but now they have gray hair and gray beard, but the face is the face. Right? The face is the face. Maybe just the gray hair like me. Just the gray hair like myself. You know, but the face, khalas, the face is the face. You won't change much. Right? So, but for him, he is a grown-up man. Mom, I'm a grown-up now. Mom, I'm a grown-up. Mom, you know that song? I like that song. I'm a grown-up now. Mom, forgive me. I don't know the lyrics, but it's a beautiful song. you know that song I'm talking about, right? That song, you know, I'm a grown-up now. I'm a grown-up, mom, I'm grown-up. You know that song, you guys? You know, he was so bad when he was a kid. Now he says, mama, I'm a grown-up. Mama, I'm a grown-up now. You know that song? Yeah. Well, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. Anyways. So he recognized them. But they did not recognize him. They did not recognize him. Anyways. So in that trade, yeah, but Maher Zain, exactly, but Maher Zain. So when they did the trade, so what happens is, brothers and sisters, you know, one brother will get, you know, food, you know, food per person, you know. So you give some trade, but then we give in exchange food, but food per person. They said, well, we have another brother. He says, no, I cannot give you, you know, unless you bring him. You know, we only give to the people who are here. So you go get your own brother and then we'll give you some more, right? But we give you only a portion, one portion per person. They did not have much to trade anyways, but because you know, Yusuf alayhi salam, because Egypt had much surplus, they were willing to trade and they were willing to give people, you know, food. So they were giving them the grains, you know, the corn, but one portion per person. They said, we have a brother, Binyamin, a little one. You know, who's actually now, you know, an adult as well. But Yusuf said, no, we can't. You know, you bring in your brother, because he had plans. You bring in your brother and then we give you back. One person per person. They went back. As they went back, Yusuf alayhi salam told his slaves, his, you know, the servants, give them back their merchandise. Their merchandise worth nothing anyways. Give it back to them. You know, give them some, you know, give them the things back. So they went back home. They went all the way back to Palestine. And they said, you know, father, this is what happened. He was this great man. He gave us so much food. But he could not give us enough, you know, portions from our brother because he says he wants to see our brother. He only gives, you know, to people who come physically there. And then they went and they checked. Oh, father, you know, he also gave us our merchandise back. So why don't you let our brother go with us, Binyamin, so we can get more food. We can get more food the following year. Then the father said, you want me to trust you with my son as I trusted you with Yusuf? Wallahu khayru hafidha. Allah. Wallahu khayru hafidha. Allah is the old protector, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you remember, you know, did you want me to trust you with Binyamin as I trusted you with Yusuf? And Allah Azza wa Jalla is the old protector, the most protector, the supreme protector. Then he said, I will not let Binyamin go with you unless you give me oaths. You give me that allegiance, that oath that you shall bring him back sound and safe. So they gave him oath. مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُونَنِي بِهِ إِلَّا يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ. That you bring him back, except if there's an accident and he dies, let's say. Unless he dies, unless Malak al-Mawt, you know, grabs his soul. Other than that, you have to make me promises that you shall bring him back. Then you can take Binyamin with you. They gave him a wathiq. They made more oaths. They gave him oaths because this time they were serious. And then the father gave them this beautiful, beautiful brothers and sisters. Here, I want you to be really, really, you know, pay very close attention with me, because something that we can all relate to. You and I can relate to this beautiful advice given by the father. He said, verse number 67. Verse number 67. He says,
وقال يا بني لا تدخلوا من باب واحد وادخلوا من أبواب متفرقة وما أغني عنكم من الله من شيء إن الحكم إلا لله عليه توكلت وعليه فليتوكل المتوكلون.
Amazing, beautiful, beautiful. Brothers and sisters, he told them, listen, he says, when you go, because they're 11 altogether, 11 and Yusuf, you know, 12, so 11 of them going together, you know, so he says, when you enter Egypt, don't enter from one gate, because Egypt had different gates. He says, don't go all together from one gate, but enter Egypt from different gates. Why?
وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. If something was to happen to you, it shall happen to you. We're only using the means. But why he told them not to enter Egypt all from one gate, but to enter from different gates?
Why do you think their father told them, Yaqub told them to do so when they go to when they reach Egypt? Why do you think so, my brothers and sisters? Why? Anybody knows? You guys are all quiet all of a sudden. Anybody knows why? Because they were handsome? Okay, they were handsome. So what if they were handsome? Yusuf is the one who was actually handsome, not the others. To protect from Ayn? Na'am mu'nisa. Yes, to protect from Ayn. To protect from a nazar. Because 11 brothers, and they know, they look alike, they resemble one another. So as they, if they were to enter from that same gate, people would look at them and they say, wow, 11 brothers. You know, who gives, you know, birth to 11 children? Who gave birth to 11 children? And they would look at them. They were all strong, you know, good brothers. So this is, this opens up doors for Ayn. It opens up doors for, you know, Nazar. So he told them, don't enter from one gate, but enter from, they used to believe in Ayn. They used to believe in Ayn. So Ayn is not something new. They believed in it even from that time. Don't enter from one gate, but enter from different gates, protecting them from Ayn. But then he told them, listen, if something was meant to happen to you, it shall happen to you. It shall happen to you. He says, you know, لا أغني عنكم. He said, وَمَا أَغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. If something was meant to happen to you, it shall happen to you. This is here, are just, you know, we are just using the means. We're taking the means, but, you know, he is putting his trust in the Lord of the means, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. The hukum belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ. I put my trust in him. You see, although he told them to enter from different gates, yet he's telling them here, or he's saying here, I put my trust in Allah. Allah. I put my trust in Allah. I, you know, when the Prophet told the man, you know, tie your camel and make tawakkul. Tie your camel. So here he's tying the camel by telling them, don't enter from one gate. Enter from different gates, but put your trust in the Lord of the camel. Put your Lord, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? He says, عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلْ لِمُتَوَكِّلُ. So my brothers and sisters, the story goes, as you know, as I said today, inshallah ta'ala, I want to finish it. They entered, you know, and then Yusuf alayhi salam, I want you to imagine Yusuf alayhi salam, because they had to spend the night there, you know, they had to spend the night there, and Yusuf wanted to teach his brothers a very, very tough lesson. He wanted to teach them a tough lesson, a rough lesson. He knows that they made promises, they gave promises to their father. So that night, they spent the night there, and Yusuf secretly, he called his brother, his younger brother. He was close to him, Binyamin. Binyamin and Yusuf. Binyamin was the youngest, and Yusuf alayhi salam was the second youngest. So he called him in secret. After so many years,
I am your brother. Imagine, after so many years, he get to see Yusuf. You, Binyamin, you don't recognize me? I am your brother. Are you Yusuf? Yes, I am Yusuf. And you're Binyamin. Imagine, they maybe they're crying, hugging each other after such a long time. My brother is alive. My brother, you're alive. Yes, I'm alive. And they were crying, most likely. Most likely they're hugging and crying. The Quran does not describe this. I am describing it for you because this is another scene. This is another scene. I'm playing the movie for you, right? The, you know, after such a, you know, many, many years, they met each other, you know, Yusuf and Binyamin. I am Yusuf. This is what happened to me. They threw me in jail. So now he's telling his brother the whole story. They threw me in jail. I got saved. I went, I was saved, you know, and then been thrown, you know, in the markets of Egypt. I was sold as a slave and then, you know, lived in the palace. I was accused in my honor. I lived in the palace. Then I was thrown in prison. And then after that, 7 years in prison. And then I came out from prison, cleared my name, alhamdulillah, and now I became the trustee. You know, he told him the whole story. You, Yusuf, yes, Yusuf, you, Binyamin, tell me, how's my dad? How's Yaqub? Oh, your dad, our father was so sad and he's still sad. He talks about you all the time. He mentions your name all the time. He's telling him all the story. And Yusuf is probably crying. And Binyamin too, also probably crying. Yes, my father, you know, keep mentioning you all the time. He did not trust my brothers. He knows that they did something wrong, but he did not want to accuse them, you know. So, but he never forgot you. He always talks about you. He believes in you. You know, he's telling him all this. Though Yusuf says, Binyamin, I have a plan. I have a plan. We're gonna work now. We're gonna teach them a lesson. We're gonna take the, you know, the something that belongs to the king, and we're gonna put it in your, you know, in the in your pocket, you know, and then we're gonna call that somebody has stolen something from the king, and then we go into search and we will find it there. And then, because the rule is whoever stole something, that person will get that punishment. So we will keep you, I will keep you with me here, you know, to teach them a lesson. And then that's what happened. On the way out in the morning, as they were leaving, a call, somebody stole something. We have a thief. Somebody stole something that belongs to the king. Something that belongs to the king. You know, something really precious, you know, that belongs to the king. The chain that belongs to the king. These people, they came and says, by Allah, you know, we did not come here to cause corruption on land. We only came here to trade. We are not thieves. They said, well, let us check. So they started from their, you know, from their pockets and their belongings first, one after another. They started checking their belongings one after another until they came to Binyamin, and then they checked Binyamin and they found the chain of that king or whatnot, you know, that precious thing that happened to the, that belonged to the king, you know, found it with Binyamin. And then they said, okay, well, Binyamin will get the punishment. They came and they said, why don't you take somebody instead of him? Take, you know, one brother, or, you know, there's so many. Take one of us in lieu of him. They said, no, ma'ad Allah, we're very just people. We're, you know, we're fair people. Whoever committed the crime, that's the person who will get the punishment. Not that somebody commits the crime and the other gets the punishment. That whoever commits the crime will get the punishment. And now they're stuck. They made promises. They made promises, but they did not fulfill the promise, and then they had to leave. Their elder brother said, I will not go. I will not go. I can't go. I can't go and face my father because we promised and promised. And now one more time we're breaking, you know, the promise that we have made to our father. They went back and then they started crying. And this time, look what they said to their father. Look what they said to their father. They went back to the father. They said, verse number 81 and 82. Please, be careful here. Stay with me. I'm almost done. So I can, you know, share with you that poem, that beautiful poem that summarizes the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And in fact, it will answer a lot of, you know, troubles and hardship that you go into. Anybody go into any hardship? Any sickness, any financial problem, we have your answer today. I have your answer. We have your answer. I'm going to share it with you in the form of a beautiful poem, inshallah ta'ala. So go with me to verse number 81, 82 from Surah Yusuf. He said, Irji'u ila abikum, the brother, the elder brother told them, go back to your father. Faqulu ya abana inna ibnaka sarakh. Say, oh my father, your son has stolen. Your son has stolen. وما شهدنا إلا بما علمنا وما كنا للغيب حافظين. And this is, we are only witnessing what we have seen. This is what we have seen. They told us he stole. And yes, when they searched his belongings, they found that thing that belonged to the king. They found him with him. So we witnessed that. And then on top of that, they said, وَاسْأَلِ الْقَرْيَةَ الَّتِي كُنَّا فِيهَا. Ask. You don't believe us? Ask. The other time when they told Yusuf in the well, in that pit, they did not say, ask this or ask that. They said, oh, you're not going to believe us even if we're speaking the truth. This is what they said. They said, you're not going to believe us. But this time they said, you don't believe? Ask. Akal Qariya. Ask the town that we were in. The people there. وَالْعِيرَ الَّتِي أَقْبَلْنَا فِيهَا. And ask the people. There were some travelers also with us. Ask them. Ask those travelers. Go back to the town and ask the people of the town. So they will tell you the truth. They will tell you that we are speaking the truth. SubhanAllah, when you speak the truth, you say, if you don't trust me, ask so-and-so, ask so-and-so, ask so-and-so. Remember, here's my alibi. My alibi is this. My alibi is that. But when they were not speaking the truth, when they were lying, they said, oh, you're not going to believe us even if we're speaking the truth. You see, SubhanAllah. So Yaqub alayhi salam. And then he went back into another sadness, constant sadness, and started crying. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He lost his sight as he was crying so much tears that SubhanAllah, he lost his sight. His eyes turned white. You know, he lost his sight. He couldn't see no more because of, you know, him crying too much. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. Oh, Ya Asaf ala Yusuf. Ya Asaf. Oh, Ya Asaf. Yusuf. He remembers Yusuf. Now Yusuf, you know, before Yusuf, now Benjamin. But he says, Ya Asaf ala Yusuf. Wabiyadat ayna. Oh, what a regret. I lost two of my... And he's a prophet. Look at the test of this prophet. A prophet who lost his beloved children. Yeah, and when you lose your job or you lose your business or you lose anything, you can come out. You know, you can come, but SubhanAllah, when you lose a loved one, when you lose a loved one, it's a very tough, you know, hit. It's really, really, yani, extreme, you know, hit. So he goes crying. That's all he had to do, cry. But SubhanAllah, he lost his sight with crying. قَالَ إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I will just complain to my Lord Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Brothers and sisters, the following year they want to go back. You know, again, because they had that famine. And that famine, as Yusuf said, 7 years. It will last 7 years. It will last 7 years, right? So 7 good years and 7 bad years. So another year, they were, you know, again, going through a lot of pain and drought and famine. So they went back again. But this time they had very, you know, again, the trade, the merchandise they had was a very bad merchandise. They went back. As Yusuf saw them all sad, bringing this very, you know, old merchandise, then Yusuf told them, هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. He says, do you guys remember what you did to Yusuf before? Now he brings, you know, some memories back. Do you people remember what you have done to Yusuf? Allah is punishing you. Do you guys remember? Then they said, are you Yusuf? He says, yes, I am Yusuf. And this is my brother, Benjamin. I'm Yusuf, and this is my brother, Benjamin. And he says, قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has bestowed this upon us. It is not us. It is Allah who bestowed this upon us. It is Allah who bestowed this beauty upon me. It is Allah who's bestowed me, alhamdulillah, the fact that I can interpret dreams, you know, to others upon me. It is Allah who made me know about this. You know, so, مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. You know, Allah is the bestower of gifts. Why would you have envy? You know, it is Allah. It is not me. It is Allah. So he attributed his, you know, that blessings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then they realized how wrong they were, and they were really sad, crying again, of course. You know, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ أَضْرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا إِنْ كُنَّا وَإِنَّا لَا تَدْرِي عَلَيْكَ الْيَوْمَ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Now Yusuf alayhi salam, just like Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, when he went back to Mecca and the people of Mecca came back to him, says, Ya Muhammad, you know, these are the same people who, you know, kicked him out from Mecca. They came back, said, Ya Muhammad, would you forgive us? What, you know, would you please give us a chance? Would you? He says, go, you are all forgiven. Same thing here for Yusuf. Yusuf could have avenged, you know, his brothers. He could have avenged and wronged them as they wronged him. But then he says, go back. اليوم يغفر الله لكم لا تتريب عليكم. It's okay. I forgive you, and I ask Allah Azza wa Jal also to forgive you. Go back to my father. And then he gave them his shirt again. Third time. Take my shirt. It has its smell. The shirt has the smell of Yusuf alayhi salam. Take my shirt. Go back to my father. Throw the shirt on him. Give him the shirt. As soon as he puts the shirt, you know. In fact, the father smelled the shirt before they reached Palestine. As they came back to Palestine in their journey, the father, subhanAllah, from very far, he says, أشم رائحة, I smell the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salam. His other family were telling him, are you sick, man? You're an old man. Are you still remembering Yusuf? He says, عسى الله أن يأتيني بهم جميعا. He never lost hope, my brothers and sisters. Never, never lose hope. He never lost hope. He says, I pray Allah shall bring them all for me. Allah will bring Yusuf and all his brothers to me. And that's what happened. They came back all. They came back all. They gave him the shirt of Yusuf. He smelled it, put it in his face. And then he turned, you know, as he was blind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him back his sight. Brothers and sisters, he brought back his family. They all came back to Egypt because Yusuf told them, bring my family, bring my father, bring my mother. They came back. And then they came back to see Yusuf. I imagine Yusuf seeing his parents for the very, you know, again, for a very long time. He gets to see them after so many years. After so many years, what, 30 years? 35 years? 40 years? Have not seen them? Imagine, so you have not seen your own parents for 40 years? 30 to 40 years? He goes to see Yaqub and his mom is hugging them, crying. And then they made sujood to him. They made sujood to him. And my brothers and sisters, sujood at the time, it was permissible. It is not sujood like we do now for Allah. Sujood as a sujood of respect. Because he was the king. He was not the king. He was that trustee. He was that minister. People, they made sujood to him. Like they reclined to him. And then he says, Dad, now I understand the dream, my dream. When I saw the 11 stars and I saw the sun and the moon making sujood to me, the 11 stars are my brothers, and the sun and the moon, my father and my mother. Allah. Allah. My father and my mother. Allah. This is the dream that he saw in the very beginning, of the story, when he saw that dream. Oh, my father, I saw 11 stars and the sun and the moon making sujood to me. The father, he understood it. But now Yusuf get to translate, you know, his own dream. The 11 stars are my children, are my brothers, and the sun and the moon. Brothers and sisters, the sun and the moon, who's the father and who's the mother? Who's the sun and who's the moon? Yalla, huh? It's a nice one. Who's the sun and who's the moon? Kamran, Habib, Koko, Murad, Nasima, I hope you're still there. Yashmin, Mu'nisa, Umair, Nawal. Who's the sun and who's the moon? He says, I saw 11 stars. So we know that 11 stars are the brothers. But then he says, and I saw the sun and the moon. Who's the sun and who's the moon? Because the father and the mother were making sujood. Shahnaz, okay. Coco, uh-huh. All right. Okay. Those of you from Facebook, how about those of you from Instagram? Uh-huh, Nasima, uh-huh. Okay. Sun, good. Moon, all right. There is no differences of opinion. Yes. The sun is the father and the moon is gentle. Yani the father is not gentle. The moon is gentle. The moon is mother. Huh? The sun is the father and the moon is... Now the brothers are saying the moon is the dad. The qamar. Al-qamar. Al-qamar. Yes, yes, Allah. But still, when you say qamar, when you describe something nice, when you describe a beautiful woman, your wife or your sister or your mother, you describe her as qamar. Qamar means the moon in Arabic. You don't say this man is qamar. It does not sound in Arabic. It does not sound so right. You know, describing a man as qamar. A man may be the sun. He's the sun.
But the moon, because the moon is gentle, like you said, the moon is soft. The moon in Arabic, qamar. Brothers, do you tell your wives qamar? Do you tell your moms qamar? Anti qamari? Anti qamari? Ya qamari? My qamar? My qamari? Do you say that at all? It's beautiful. Qamar is most likely the mom, and the son is most likely the dad. Brothers and sisters, this came, you know, this brings the story of Yusuf to an end. It's such a beautiful story, you know, the story of Yusuf, so many lessons. And I will, inshallah ta'ala, summarize it in 10 wasaya, 10 advice. 10 advice. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? 10 wasaya. 10 wasaya lil marda wa ashabi al balaya. 10 advice to people who are sick and people who are going through hardship. From story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Yes. So are you guys ready? Start taking some notes. Yalla Naseema. Yalla, yalla, yalla. Yalla. Yalla, bismillah. 10 advice for those who are sick and those who are going through balaya, going through adversity and tribulations. 10 advice. This will summarize the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, inshaAllah ta'ala. This was written by Muhammad ibn Abdullah. Yalla, it was a beautiful, 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 beautiful poem. He goes, I'm going to say it in Arabic, then I will give you the translation in English, okay? I'm going to say the poem in Arabic and give you the translation in English, inshaAllah ta'ala. قال محمد بن عبد الله أحمد ربي خالقي إلهي جل جلاله تعالى ذكره لا رب لي ولا إله غيره أذكره سبحانه مستغفرا لكل ذنب راجيا مستبشرا فربنا الغفور والكبير وفضله العظيم والكبير مصليا مسلما مرددا ومثنيا على النبي أحمدا وصحبه من بعده وآلاء ذوي التقى والخير والكمال. وبعد فهذه هي النصيحة إذا أتت خالصة صحيحة وهذه عشر من الوصايا يحتاجها المرضى ذوي البلايا. أولها اعلم أن ذا اختبار لا يعلم السخوط والصبار أولها اعلم أن ذا اختبار ليعلم السخوط والصبار وهذه حقيقة الدنيا كما بينها الله لنا تكرما فالصبر أجله بلا حساب والساخط المردود بالعقاب فهذه الأولى وأما الثانية فاعلم بأنها حياة فانية مما يسلي حزنها زوالها عما قريب تنتهي أثقالها لا تنخدع متاعها قليل غرورها يتبعها الرحيل وثالثا تذكر الحساب والموقف الطويل والتواب كل معافى يغبط المريض حين يرى ثوابه العريض أما المريض نفسه فقد يرى لو زيد في البلاء لكان أجدرا ورابعا لا تغبط الأفضل بل انظر إلى الأسفل وانظر إلى الأقل فذاك أولى وبه اعتبار وذا قضاؤه هو الجبار فربنا أعلم بالأحوال فهو الحكيم وذو المحال وخامسا لا تكثر الشكوى على غير الإله فهو كاشف البلاء شكواك لغير بلا حصيل يطان في صبرك الجميل سادسها عليك بالدعاء لله رب الأرض والسماء فهو المجيب عبده المضطر ويكشف السوء ويزيل الضر
ووحده من يملك الشفاء ويرفع الأمر والبلاء هو الكريم من دعاه سائلا فلا يرد خائبا بل قائلا هو الكريم من دعاه سائلا فلا يرد خائبا بل قائلا يحييه الرحمن بالأصلح له يعطيه ما أراد وهو يدخر له.
Brothers in Instagram, this will end. I'm going to come back right away. It's going to end. Let's come back inshallah ta'ala. Those of you on Facebook, just give me 1 second, inshallah, because Instagram just ended and I had to relaunch it for the others to come back, inshallah, ta'ala, so I can come back and finish my poem. I'm almost done with the poem, but it will be beautiful once I translate it to you, inshallah, ta'ala.
All right, yalla, bismillah, they're coming back now. The people from Instagram, they're coming back. Yalla. I'm hanging on. I gave so much six. Yalla, bismillah. You're back. I have Layla and Nawal, they're back. Once I translate this poem to you, inshallah, trust me, wallahi, it will solve a lot of your problems. Lots of your problems. Especially those who are going through difficulties and those who are going through problems and tribulations. Sickness, mostly, or any type of tribulation. All right, the majority are back. So, bismillah. Number six, he said,
سادسها عليك بالدعاء لله رب الأرض والسماء فهو المجيب عبده المضطر ويكشف السوء ويزيل الضر ووحده من يملك الشفاء ويرفع الأمر والبلاء هو الكريم من دعاه سائلا فلا يرد خائبا بل قائلا يجيبه الرحمن بالأصلح له يعطيه ما أراد أو يدخره له أجرا عظيما وافرا كما دعا أو مثله من البلاء قد دفعا والسابع الذكر لدى البقاء لا سيما في الصبح والمساء فذكره يطمئن القلوب وذاك أمر لم يزل مطلوبا وذكره حصن حصين يمنع من عين حساد يغيض يطمع كذا من السحار والشيطان فذكره وقاية للإنسان وأفضل الذكر كلام ربنا فيه شفاء كل ما حل بنا يشفي قلوبنا من الأجسام وذاك قول ربنا العلام ثامنها الإحسان والعطايا تدعى حديثا بعضه قد حققه ثم الصلاة تاسعا الوصايا من لا يصلي ما أجمع البلايا وما الذي يرجوه عند العافية إن أعقبتها نار رب الحامية إن الصلاة تشرح الصدور وتذهب الهم كذا الشرور وكيف لا وأنت فيها تتصل بربنا الكريم معطي من سأل عاشرها أهمها ليتيأسا من رحمة الله فترضى في المحن لله ضرها قلوب قانعة برحمة الرب الكريم الواسعة قد أحسنت بربها الظنون وهم يلطفوا رب الواثقون وفي الختام ربنا ندعوك بأسمائك الحسنى كما نرجوك أن تكتب الشفاء للجميع يا رب يا مجيب يا سميع يا رب ألبسنا لبوس العافية رباه وارزقنا جنانا عالية فأنت مولانا وخير من سئل وخير من يعصي وخير من يعطي وخير مؤتمل ثم الصلاة والسلام آبدا تخشى الحبيب المصطفى محمدا. My brothers and sisters, here are 10 advice for those who are going through
tribulations, such as diseases or any type of hardship. 10 advice. He says, I praise him, seeking his forgiveness from every sin, hopeful and seeking glad tidings. So he starts with praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking glad tidings over the Lord is most forgiving, most great, and his bounties are great and abundant. First, starting by praising and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then number two, you know, we haven't even started yet. He just started by praising Allah. Then he sent repeated peace and salutations and pray, you know, upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, thereafter upon his companions and family sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Wabad. And then he says, indeed, religion is good counsel. Now he wants to give you an advice. Ad-din al-nasiha. Religion is advice, giving good counsel when it is put forth in a sincere manner. So this nasiha, when you're sincere, it shall reach people's hearts. So he says, هَذِهِ عَشْرٌ مِنَ الْوَصَايَا. These are 10 advice of benefit to sick and those who are tested. Are you ready to hear them? He says, these are 10 advice to those who are sick and those who are tested. Are you ready to hear these 10 advice? 10 advice. You ready? This is only the start. Now I'm going to start if you're ready. If you're not ready, maybe Monday, inshallah ta'ala. But you have to be ready. You're ready for the 10 advice? Yes or yes? Can I go with the 10 advice, my brothers and sisters? Yes or yes? We're going to start right now. 10 advice. Yeah, Bismillah, let's go. Nasima, I don't know if you're there. Yalla, he said, number one. Awaluha, he says, the first is to know that this is a test, to identify the patient from the discontent. Number one, he says, it's a test. Whatever, you know, hardship you go into or going through, he says, the first advice is to know that this is a test to identify the patient from the discontent. And this is the reality of this world, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his kindness, has made it clear to us. The reward of the patient will be without account, while the discontented are warned of a punishment. Yani, this is the first advice. Just to know that everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reward those who are patient and to punish those who are discontented of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَهَذِهِ الْأُولَى. That's the first one. The second one, فَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ حَيَاتٌ فَانِيَةٌ. Know that this life is temporary. Know that this life is temporary, from which life, يعني, worries are consoled by its destined end, that soon the burdens will come to an end. So this is life. Whatever you're going through, inshallah ta'ala, things will come into an end. So he says, do not be deceived, life's enjoyments are just few. You know, this life enjoyments are not much, it's just few. And he says, the travelers follows nothing but its deceptions. The travelers, as we are, follows nothing but its deceptions. That's number two. Number three, he says, the third is to remind oneself of the questioning of the day of judgment and the rewards of the place of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. He says, وَتَتَذَكَّرِ الْحِسَابِ. He says, the third thing is to remember, you know, the day of judgment, the day of questioning, and to remember, you know, when people will be, you know, all, you know, on that plane of Qiyamah, and the reward for what? This is amazing. This piece here is amazing. The reward, he says, the reward for what? That day, everyone will envy those who were, you know, going through problems. They will envy those who were sick. People on the Day of Judgment, they will envy the people who were sick. Why? Once they see their large reward. Allahu Akbar. On the Day of Judgment, yes, on the Day of Judgment, on the Mawqif, he says, people will envy, and this is hadith, there's hadith on this, by the way. People will envy those who were sick. They will envy them in what way? They will envy them wishing that they were sick in this dunya, wishing that they were sick. Why? Once they see the large reward given to them. Allahu Akbar. This is advice number three. He says, remember the day of questioning, the day of Qiyamah, when people will envy those who are sick, once they see the large reward given to them that day. So remember this. That's number three. And then he says, with regard to the sick, أما المريض, with regard to the sick, as for the sick, he himself would ponder if only the difficulties have been increased. Allahu Akbar. He will ponder if only the difficulties been increased, it would have been better. Subhanallah. Really? Yes. That day, the one who is sick, once he will see the large reward, he says, he would ponder if only the difficulties have been increased, it would have been better. Now we say too much, enough, enough, because we're weak. But that day, you will see, once you see that large reward, the sick person will say, if only the difficulties were more. If only difficulties were more, it would have been better. So that's number three. Number four, he says, and the fourth is not to envy those who are in better condition than you. The fourth condition, he says, don't envy those who are in better condition than you, but to rather look at those who are in worse condition than you, or those who are less. Don't envy those who are in better condition than you, but rather look at those who are in worse condition, you know, that than you. فَذَاكَ أَوْلَى. He says, for that is better, and that is what should be considered. This is Allah's decree, and He is the compeller, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah made some have more than others. This is Allah's decree, except Allah's decree. That's number four. فَرَبُّنَا أَعْلَمُ بِالْأَحْوَالِ. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. رَبُّنَا أَعْلَمُ بِالْأَحْوَالِ. He says, our Lord is the most knowledgeable of all conditions. He knows why He gave this much, and He gave that less. One, why Allah made this man sick, and why Allah Azza wa Jal gave this man health. Why Allah made this woman sick, and why Allah made this woman healthy. Why Allah made this woman single, and why Allah made this man, you know, not single. It is Allah who knows al-ahwal. He knows the conditions of all, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the wise, and He is the planner. That's number four. Number five, he says, number five, that you should not turn in increased complaint. Don't complain too much. Don't complain too much to anyone other than Allah. That's a beautiful advice. Number five. He says, don't complain too much to anyone other than Allah. He is the remover of all difficulties. Why you shouldn't complain to anyone other than Allah? He says, because He is the true remover of all difficulties. Your turning in complaint to others will be without result, he says. You turning to complain to others will be without result. You can complain all you want. People can only help so much. And after some time, they will say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you. He says, your turning to complain to others will return without result and will negate the reward of your, you know, of your beautiful patience. Allahu Akbar. He says, it will negate the reward of your beautiful patience. So if you want to complain, complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's number five. Number six, he says, engage in dua. Turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the earth and the universe and the skies. فَهُوَ الْمُجِيبُ. He is al-mujib. He is the one who responds to his servants during difficulties and removes harm and wipes out difficulties. These are the things that you need to do. You know, other than not complain, number six, he says, work in dua. Engage in dua. Engage in dua, turning yourself to the Allah, the sustainer of the earth and the skies. He is the one who responds to the servants during difficulties and removes harms and wipes out difficulties, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He alone, the possessor of the cure. Allah. He is alone the possessor of the cure, meaning the doctor cannot cure you. You're sick and you've been suffering from this sickness. Maybe you're suffering from sihr, from black magic for years, from cancer, from diabetes, from whatever that you're suffering from. Maybe, you know, he says he alone is the possessor of the cure. Who? Allah. Allah. He is the one, the possessor of the cure, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is the one who removes diseases and tribulations. هو الكريم. هو الكريم من دعاه. He is the Kareem to those who supplicate to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. With any request, He is Kareem. That's why He's Kareem. He is the one who answers the calls. And He is the one who, to those who supplicates to Him with their request, He is the one who asks, whoever asks Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not send them away empty-handed. He is Kareem. So if Allah is Kareem, He will not send you down empty-handed, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, He says, and the most merciful response to him with what is best. Allahu Akbar. Yes, he will respond to you to what is best for you. You think that thing is best for you. No, Allah knows what's best for you. So Allah will respond to what's best for you. Remember what he said earlier. He says, that day, the one who was sick, he will wish that the difficulties were more once he see the large reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon him. So he says, the most merciful response to him with what is best. He either gives him as he asks or stores it aside for him. Ya salam. He says he either gives him what he asks for or stores it aside for him. He either gives you an answer your dua, or that dua will be answered regardless. Whether he gives it to you and answer it, you know, and gives you whatever you ask for, or he stores it for you in the day of judgment, in Jannah. And then he says, that's number six. Number seven. Engage in dhikr of the everlasting, especially, he says, especially during the subh wal masa, during the morning and during the evening. This is things that will help you going through your sickness and your tribulations. Engage in dhikr. We talked about dua, now he's talking about dhikr. Why dhikr? He says dhikr because in the dhikr of Allah gives you contentment to the heart. The gives contentment to the heart. And that is something always sought after what? After his remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is sought after. As his remembrance is like a secure, fortified fort, protection against evil, jealousy, and desirous eyes. Desirous eyes. The dhikr of Allah, he says, the remembrance of Allah is like a secure, fortified fort, like a fortress, protecting you against evil, jealousy, and desirous eyes. And also he says, as well as black magic, Allahu Akbar, dhikr protects against black magic. Yes, against black magic and shaitan as well. For in the dhikr of Allah is humankind's protection. In the dhikr of Allah, you will find the protection. Then he says, and the best of dhikr is the speech of Allah. Allahu Akbar. The best of dhikr is the speech of Allah, meaning the recitation of the Quran. The best of dhikr is the speech of Allah, which is the recitation of the Quran. He says of our Lord, in it are remedies for whatever befalls on us. Whatever befalls on us, you will find the remedy in the Quran. He says, through it cures our hearts along with our bodies. Allahu Akbar. Na'am. The remembrance of Allah, the Qiraat al-Quran, is remedy not only to our hearts, but also to our bodies. Whether you're sick, heart sick, or your body is sick, it is through the Quran, he says. The Quran will give you, you know, the recitation, the dhikr of the Quran cures our hearts along with our bodies. This is what our Lord, the All-Kind, the Almighty, has promised. Na'am, Allah has promised that in the Quran. Number eight. Kindness and giving to others. Allah. These are golden advice. Number 8. He says, kindness and giving to others remove sickness and calamities. Really? Yes. Being kind to people. Huh? Those of you who have texted me that they've been heartbroken because they go into the difficulties from their own family members. Maybe your own sister, maybe your own cousin, maybe your own brother, maybe your own uncle, maybe whoever from your own family, you know, giving you a hard time, breaking your heart, deceiving you. So he says, kindness and giving to others remove sickness and calamities. You're always the winner. Kindness and giving to others remove sickness and calamities. Indeed, these are such good, you know, deeds. Giving to others and kindness to others remove sicknesses and calamities. That's number 8. Giving charity is a cure for sickness, as narrated in a hadith by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says charity also cures the diseases from the sickness. Number nine. I only have two more. Shall we stop here, or shall I carry on the two more that I have left? He gave 8 so much so far. So I have 2 more, 9 and 10. Shall I stop here? as a cliffhanger, or maybe shall I continue and finish them all? Number 10. What do you think? What do you think, brothers and sisters? Keep going or finish? I have 8 so far, but I have 2 more. I have 2 more. Shall I finish them? Shall I finish them? Yasmin, Layla, Nawal, Mu'nisa, Coco Murad, continue. Tayyib, yalla, bismillah. Nasima, are you there? Let's continue. Number nine is As-Salah, Tasi'ul Wasaya. He says, Salah, the 9th advice is Salah for the one who does not pray, is embodiment of calamities. You're talking about sickness. He says, for the one who does not pray, is just embodiment of calamities. So he says, Salah, pray. Those who don't pray, this is just embodiments of sicknesses and problems and adversities and masa'ib. You know, he says, of course, if you don't pray, you will run through problems. You will go through problems. You will have all kinds of diseases and calamities. He says, Salah. He says, As-Salah. What do you hope for in well-being if it is followed by the blazing fire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Talking about those who don't pray. He says, indeed, Salah expands and open chests. Indeed, Salah expands and open chests. It removes all worries and evil. As-Salah, it expands and opens chest and removes all worries and evils. How can you not, when it is through Salah that we can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yani, how can you not pray where in Salah, it is through Salah that you can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a man is with Allah when he is with Salah. That you are communicating with Allah when you are to the Salah. So how can you not pray? How can you connect with Allah if you don't pray? And then the last advice, my brothers and sisters, wa'ashara, the 10th is the most important. The 10th is the most important, he said. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah. Allah, whatever problem you go into. He says the 10th is the most important. Do not despair from the mercy of Allah, or else you will perish in tribulations. Amazing is the excellence granted by Allah to those hearts which are content with the vast mercy of the most kind of Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, he is in amazement with regard to those hearts, you know, who are granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to those hearts granted by Allah, which show only contentment with the vastness mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. With whatever they go through, those hearts, they always show contentment. Whether they go through problems or whether they go through good times, these hearts always showing amazement and excellence and contentment. How amazing these hearts are, he says. You know, so do not despair. Ajrun Azim, he says, in the form of the full enormous rewards to the request of an equivalent difficulty will be removed. Yani, subhanAllah, he says, in the form, the reward that they will get, the reward in the form of full enormous reward to the request or equivalent difficulty will be removed. Whether it is, what was the reward? The reward, either something, yani, when you go to the problem, something equivalent in terms of reward, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove some and ward you off from some evil that was meant to happen to you. Yani, you're the winner. A winner, if you show contentment, don't despair. If you despair, you lose. But when you show contentment, you're the winner. Allahu Akbar. These are the 10 advice given by this amazing man in this poem. 10 advice given to those who are going through sickness or tribulations. In fact, the summary of Surah Yusuf, he went through so many pain, he went through so many tribulations, he made dua, he didn't despair, he, you know, made dhikr, he called, so at the end, he was the winner. I hope this will resonate with all of you. I hope this will resonate with all of us, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakum Allah khair, brothers and sisters. It was a long session today, but I had to share that, you know, poem with you. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Jazakum Allah khair. Thank you for your attention and thank you for being and sticking around. May Allah grant you all al-firdaws al-a'la. Jazakum Allah khair again. There are 10 advice. I hope you can write them down. I hope you can. Indeed, there are treasures. 10 advice. Write them down, inshallah ta'ala, and share them with others. You know, yes, inshallah ta'ala. No problem. No problem. No problem. May Allah bless you all. May Allah reward you all. Inshallah ta'ala, we will meet you all again Monday, inshallah, 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, 11 o'clock p.m. UK time, for another story of another prophet. Another story of another prophet, inshallah ta'ala. Because this is the stories of the prophets. So we will go to another story of another prophet, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum, jazakum Allah khair. And I shall see you Monday, inshallah ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum, jazakum Allah khair. Thank you. Write it up, everyone. Yes, good. Maybe Nasima or those of you, you can share them. You can write them down and share them with us on Facebook or Instagram as a post. You can share them as a post, inshallah ta'ala, for everyone, those who did not take notes. Right? Those who did not take notes, inshallah ta'ala. I don't know what time it is, you know, in Melbourne. Today, right now, is 7:39 here in, you know, in Toronto. Right? Right now is 7:39 p.m. 7:39 p.m. on Friday. This is Friday, 7:39 p.m., right? So these lectures start at 6 p.m. Eastern time, Toronto time, UK, you know, New York time, you know, 6 p.m. Eastern time. So you look at your timings and you do the math, inshallah. All right? Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Have a great weekend. Still enjoy and cherish these moments. Increasing ibadat in these moments, you know, these days, the final 10 days of the Hijjah, inshallah. All right? Take advantage of them. Jazakum Allah khair. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.